and because of his sacrifice. Hey, this morning is a great morning. I want to have you guys welcome a man. I was given something. I wanted to share this with you this morning. This church, Leaf River Baptist Church, was a brand new mission in 1984. Okay, the church started. And listen to this. Until a new church was established, Pastor Appleby, which was the pastor of, at that time, First Baptist Church in Byron, in Illinois, Pastor Appleby and Pastor Snyder provided pastoral leadership. Listen, we thought it would be great for the pastor that helped start the church to be the pastor to close us down. And I'm just kidding. I hope I'm kidding, by the way. So I want to ask you guys to welcome Pastor Randy. I want to ask you guys, let me just pray for us real quick. And then we will welcome Pastor Randy up to bring us the word this morning. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. You are a good God and you are amazing. And Lord, you are everything that we're not and everything that we want and everything that we need. Lord, this morning as we open your word, I ask that you would speak through Randy and speak into our hearts. Lord, open the eyes and the ears of our hearts this morning so that we can hear what it is that you have to say. Lord God, we all come with our own various struggles and joys and everything that's going on in our lives, Lord. And so we ask that you would speak to us through Randy and allow him to be your voice this morning. In your name we pray, amen. Hey, let's welcome Pastor Randy to come on up here.
Yes, my wife is in the crowd, so you just get put up with her. You can be noisier than her or listen to her, but what a privilege it is to be here. And it's just been so exciting to watch the growth and things of happened over Leaf River over the years. Back in 84, I was a young pup then, and just a youth pastor, and Pastor Appleby said, we're going to start this church in Leaf River, and every other Sunday, you're going to go there and preach. I'm like, ooh. You know, I wasn't sure about that because I was used to talking to kids, not adults. And it was a great learning experience for me and a great time. And I loved all the people Leaf River at the time that came over here, most of them anyway. But I love you too, Ray. But but it was just a great experience. And great to see you guys survive all the different things that have happened over the years with the fire and stuff. But and then when they were looking for a replacement for Randy Newton, I thought, oh, man, it's so hard to get a pastor. And you guys got a jewel. And I don't know if you realize that, but you're just so blessed to have Billy Duke. And I just love him and what they're doing to his family and his. And also, you know, Cornerstone, just after I retired, they also found a jewel with Eric Ness, their new pastor, young pastor there. So God is good, and we're just thankful for that. But we're here on Father's Day, and we got to find out some little facts a little about you guys here. First, I want to know who the oldest father is here. Now, Ray Dick's older than dirt, but is there anybody older than Ray Dick? You're older than Ray, and you admit it? Okay. Well, no, you act younger, but you know. No. So there's the oldest father I know of, okay. And the youngest father, I don't know who that would be in here today. Would it be Nathan, or is there somebody younger? Somebody younger over here? Yeah, okay. We got the youngest father here. And the one with the most kids? that's your shoe in there. And at my age, kids doesn't really matter anymore. Who's got the most grandkids? So, you guys, yep. I've got 10, so you got more than 10? So, yeah. It's the only reason you keep your kids alive, they bring your grandchildren. You know, if there's another way we could get there, we would do that. But as I was thinking about Father's Day, and Pastor Billy said, you know, would you preach for me? We're doing Genesis 5. And I thought, oh, sure. And I jumped into Genesis 5, and it's genealogies. What? Genealogies, I can put them to sleep really fast during that. But I thought, God has a purpose, so I started reading the chapter, and, you know, starts out talking about God creating men and women. I thought, well, I could tie that in, you know, and I didn't really want to get into all the heat of all that stuff, but who's a man and who's a woman? I thought I'd leave pastor to preach that one. But a little farther down, I found a nugget I wanted to share with you. But let me share with you in Genesis 5, the first part, and it's the lineage of Adam here. So this is a written account of Adam's family line. When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And he named them mankind when they were created. And when Adam lived 130 years, he had a son of his own likeness, in his own image. His name was Seth. And after Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived a total of 930 years and then he died. You imagine that, 930 years? Phew, I thought 66 was bad. But then I want to skip down to verse 21. One of Adam's descendants, it says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God, and then he was no more because God took him away. He was no more. He walked faithfully with God for 300 years. I mean, you know, thinking living a long time would be great, but what temptations you're going to have in 300 years, you know? Yet he walked faithfully with God. And I want to talk to you fathers today about walking faithfully with God. Max Lucado said Enoch had faith in God, walked with God, and then God took him to be with him. Enoch's life was a faith demonstrated that it's possible to be faithful to God and for us to experience the same. I want you to experience the same. Whether you're a father or not, this passage that's coming up will help you to be faithful to God. Paul mentions Enoch in Hebrews 11:5. He says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. But before he was taken away, he was commended as one who pleased God. By faith, he lived his life, and he was noted as one commended who pleased God. I would like that, stand before God someday, or people say, oh, he was commended by God as one that was faithful to him. I want to finish that way. I want to be that way. And yet, I found myself not always being faithful. You hear that as a pastor? Oh. You know why? I mean, I've never robbed banks or done any bad things, you know, that all that kind of stuff. I did a few things to youth pastors I should have arrested for, but we won't get into that. We put 20 kids in a van. What's the problem, you know what I mean? But I want to be commended as one that was faithful to God. When I say I'm not faithful, it's always dependent on him, believing in him, trusting him, relying on my flesh. You see, a lot of times as a pastor, you're called to lead the people, and they look for you for leadership, and you got to make decisions, and sometimes I make decisions and then I pray about it instead of pray about it first, you know. So the passage I want to take you to is simply just, it's the Lord's Prayer. And the reason I'm taking you there is because I preached this right before I left Byron. You know, I got to get back in the saddle here. I haven't preached since September 1st, except for a few funerals, but that doesn't count. So it's kind of like, whoa, this is a little different here, you know. But I preached a sermon right before I left Byron. The Lord led me to do this, and I didn't really. You know how those times when God tells you to do something, and you thought, the Lord's Prayer, everybody knows the Lord's Prayer, God. But the Lord's Prayer, when I did all the sermon prep and going through it, changed my life in many ways. And he prepared me for what retirement was going to be, which isn't exactly what I thought it would be. But it's, you see, I'm not fully retired yet. The government says I can't fully retire until I'm 66 and 4 months. Which September 2nd, I reached that point, okay? So if I die on September 3rd, you know that I reach full retirement. She gets all my benefits. So make sure they do a good autopsy to find out why I died. Because that would be a very suspicious day to die on. So I've been doing substitute teaching and enjoying that because I enjoyed kids all my life. And, man, what a ministry that's been, you know? Because the kids, you know, you can't talk about God in church, or in school, right? Unless they ask about it. Well, you can bait them. And one of the little junior high girls the other day said, Well, where do you think heaven is? Okay, let's talk. Not only are we talking about where heaven is and who's in heaven and how you get to heaven. And I can do all that when they ask me questions. And then one class I went into and they were talking about ancient civilizations. And it happened to be that lesson today was on Nebuchadnezzar. I can tell you about Nebuchadnezzar. One of the teachers said, if you don't know anything about Nebuchadnezzar, don't worry about it. Oh, don't worry. I told him about Nebuchadnezzar. I told him about Daniel's faith. I told him, you know, so God's just cool how he does that. And I've really had a great ministry that way. I've enjoyed doing that, even though it's kind of crazy sometimes. Walking faithfully with God for 300 years. So let's look at the Lord's Prayer. You guys know the Lord's Prayer, but we'll read it. I'll read it to you, and maybe on the screen if I did PowerPoint right. I don't know. We'll see. Jesus said, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now, wait a minute. Listen to that. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Sometimes I forget that. So then he says, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord's Prayer is divided in two parts, if you ever noticed. The first part, you know, starts out with focusing on God and using your. The second part focuses on us, our earthly needs, and talks about our. See, we got to know who your is before we can deal with our. We got to know who God is, and you've got to understand how the massive power and strength and wisdom and everything he has before you can depend on yourself. Until you know your Father, you're not going to trust him. Now, I had a great father. I hope he's in heaven listening to me. I could trust him. I never doubted my dad. He could fix anything, do anything. He was Superman in my life, next to my grandpa. He was probably a little notch above my dad. But I trusted him. You know, we get in the car. How many of you guys went on vacation? And you said, Dad, you know where you're going? Do you have enough money to go on vacation? Never even thought. Just got in the car, five of us kids, and head off for California. They must have been nuts in the 63 Ford station wagon with no air conditioning. And we loved it. You got to know your father and trust him. A young girl brought her fiance home to meet the parents. And after dinner, the father took him for a walk because he wanted to get to know this young man. And the father said, so what are your plans? And the man says, I'm a biblical scholar. The father says, biblical scholar, huh? He said, what are you going to do to provide a nice house for my daughter to live in? He said, I will study the word and God will provide. Well, you know, my daughter should enjoy a nice engagement ring. How are you going to buy that? I will concentrate on my studies and God will provide. Well, if you have any children, how will you support my children? Don't worry, sir. God will provide. So later on, after they left, the mother said, well, how to go with talking to him? He goes, well, honey, he has no job, he has no plans, and he thinks that I am God. How big is your God? Can you depend on him? Can you trust him? Do you live your life like you're depending and trusting him? You know, when life is set, when I was a pastor and I had a weekly salary and a house and all that stuff, I didn't have to depend on God as much. But since I retired, all of a sudden I had to depend on him more. God, what do you want me to do? Where should I be? What should I do? Many, many things that I learned that I had to trust and depend on God. You see, is God essential in your life or is he just an accessory? Is he essential that you depend on him and need him every day? Or is he just an accessory you pull in every once in a while when you need prayer or you're sick or something's going on in your life? That's the only question you can answer. Of course, God is a pastor. He's essential. But sometimes he just became an accessory. You know, it's easy to slide into that if you're not careful. And part of it is because of our daily practice. of knowing what we need and what we need, what we're looking forward to. We think we're in control when we're really not. Jesus starts out this passage, he's saying, do not keep on babbling. You know what babbling is? Are you married? Oh, never mind. Well, I babble to you, honey. That's what I meant. Those times when you say stuff and it really doesn't matter, you know. But my wife, she talks to the TV, she talks to the dog, and sometimes she's talking to me and I don't even, she's babbling. Oh, you're talking to me now? Let me know when you're talking to me so I'm not in trouble. Don't you guys do that? Come on, women. Okay, sometimes maybe okay, I've only got the strange one. But sometimes we babble in prayer. We babble because we think the more we pray, the more words we say, and the more saintly they sound, that God's going to listen. The trouble is, he doesn't care about our babbling. He already knows what you need. I grew up in a really country church that was very strict and very weird. They split every 2 years. I think it was in the Constitution. But I remember the old elder deacon getting up there, praying these prayers that I had to interpret in tongues, because it was, thou beeth with us, thou hast Lord thee be, and using all these words. I was like, what is he talking about? Talking English, you know, using all that old King James language, because somehow it seemed more spiritual. It was just a bunch of babbling. When's the last time you prayed in faith? You know, many times we do that when we get really sick or something major happens in our lives. But we need to do that every day, praying in faith, believing and trusting. And it's remembering who you're addressing, which is the first part of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says, you're to pray to your Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. My first point is simply this, you need to know the God of the universe. The God that created everything, you need to know him. You say, well, yeah, I know God. Do you really? I mean, I know a lot of people, but I don't know them. Until you've trusted them and experienced them and been with them, do you really get to know who that person is, you know? How big is your God? Big God, big faith. Little God, little faith. That's the way it works. Have you ever thought about how big your God is? Because he's the Father in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. It's interesting that nowhere in the Old Testament has anybody prayed to God as a father. It's not until the New Testament that Jesus introduced him. Look at a couple of passages in the Old Testament. Genesis 24:42. O Lord, God of my master Abraham. 1 Chronicles 14:11. O Lord, our God. They called him Jehovah. They called him lots of things, but he was never addressed as Father in the Old Testament. But Jesus told us to pray in the New Testament as Father. Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father. Not to my Father, he said, to your Father. And when Jesus prayed in Matthew 26:39, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but yours. God is our Father. And what a privilege it is to be able to call him our Father. And we as children and joint heirs with Christ. Spurgeon said that everyone who is a man of God has omnipotence as his guardian. And God would sooner empty heaven of angels than to leave a saint without defense. Be braver than lions for that right, for God is with you. God would rather empty the heaven of angels than to leave you without a defense. Is that the kind of God you serve or know as your Father? I mean, I know my Father would have protected me, done anything for me, you know. And I hope you had a father like that. Some of you did. I'm sorry about that, but some didn't. But our Heavenly Father is watching us, and he knows what we need before we need it, and he's preparing things before you even know that you're going to need them. Because that's the kind of Father we have. And yet, he's the God that created everything, the whole universe. You know, in that song you were singing earlier, it talked about Jesus calming the seas and the waves obey him. The disciples were amazed by that. Remember, they were in a boat. Of course, if you think you're going to die, you probably would be amazed by that, But that's nothing compared to what he's done. If you ever get a chance, I don't know if you guys have seen her, the Louis Giglio's Indescribable video. If you guys ever done that, if not, make sure you see that. Louis Giglio does a thing where they use from the Hubble, what's that telescope? Yeah, the big telescope up there in the sky. But he starts out with us out here on Earth. And then even when you get to the moon, and the Earth is pretty small then, and you can't even find Illinois, let alone Leaf River and your house. And then he goes to the sun and how little the Earth is. And then he keeps going and going and going. And we're just a spot in the Milky Way galaxy, just a little speck. We're not even the center of the Milky Way. And then Milky Way isn't even the biggest galaxy. There's bigger ones out there, and he keeps going out into space. And God spoke all that into existence. And as huge as God is, and as powerful as God is, that he chose to know me and let me call him as his father. Psalms 89:13 says, you are a strong arm. Your hand is mighty. Your right hand is exalted. When's the last time you praised God for his mightiness in your life? You see, us as men sometimes, as fathers, we're tough. We can do anything, right? We can do everything. Yet our kids need to see us depend on God. That it's his mighty hand that gives me the ability to do anything at all. Jesus said also to look at God as hallowed be thy name. It's a Greek word. It means to be holy, to set us aside for a special purpose, a sacred name. If you treat God's name as holy, hallowed be thy name. My wife is a little different. She loves sci-fi movies. We had to go see Jurassic World at the movie theater recently, you know. She loves all that stuff. So she gets on and watches all these old sci-fi movies. But she's made a commitment to God because a lot of these back in the 60s and 70s, where if they use God's name, she won't watch them. So today she's watching one. I'm just getting into this movie. We're almost through it. And they said God's name wrong. She shut it off a second. But I honored her for having that. You can't use God's name wrong. And yet, man, I hear kids at school when I'm teaching, they're using God's name just like it's a, you know, oh, God, this, oh, God, just so wrong. Hallowed be thy name. Do you know when they used to translate the, or transcribe the scriptures, they didn't have copy machines. They'd have to hand write them out. These monks would sit and do that for years. And when they came to the name of God in the Old Testament or New Testament, they would stop, they would go take a bath, put on clean clothes, get a brand new pen, and write his name. And if it happened 5 words later, they'd stop, go take a bath, get on clean clothes, get a new pen out, because they had such a reverence for the name of God. Because they knew how huge God is, how important he is. Very important. And my point simply is this, is that if you don't know who God is, how big your God is, how's your faith going to be big? You need that. As a father, you need to have great faith. You need to trust for your kids, and then you get your kids raised, and you got made, then you got grandkids. You start worrying about them, they start driving your cars, Jack. Oh, my grandson's here. I mean, trusting that they're safe in just the world that we live in today. If you don't think you need faith, look around the world that you live in today, that's for sure. The second point of the Lord's prayer is that, verse 10, is you need to surrender to his will. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I've said that a million times probably. But do I say it when I believe it? Your will be done. My wife says I'm stubborn. I don't know why. Because it's my way, not her way all the time, right? No, she gets her way a lot. But we have a will, don't we? And so men, we're to be the leaders and we're to do this, and yet my will has got to be his will. And I forget that sometimes, and I get ahead of God sometimes. Philippians 2:5 says, your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. Read that passage sometimes. Well, what was Jesus' attitude? Paul says that's our attitude should be. He said he made himself nothing. He humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus, the creator of the whole universe, humbled himself. How much more should we humble ourselves and look for God's will? And we know that Jesus struggled with God's will. I read that prayer earlier in Matthew where Jesus says, Father, take this from me. If it's willing, take it, but not my will, but yours. Jesus didn't want to go through what he had to go through. Well, he wanted to, but he knew what was coming. Humility doesn't mean you're weak. Jesus was far from weak. But humility leads you to obedience. So you're more obedient to God if that way. See, it's my will or God's will. That's what you got to decide. I mean, I've had a lot of issues. I've had to make decisions in my life, and it's like, God, what am I supposed to do? Even retirement was a huge thing for me, you know, because I really wanted to make it another year, but God made it evident that it was time. And it was like, okay, but what am I going to do? Well, God says, what do you mean, what are you going to do? Don't worry about it. It's not tomorrow. You don't need to know today. But I need to know today, God. You guys ever been that way? I need to know right now. No, you don't need to know right now. I created the whole universe. You don't think I can take care of your tomorrow? Okay, you know. My will versus his will. It's tough sometimes to submit to God's plans. 1987, I was youth pastor Byron and decided it was time to leave. I candidated for a church out in California, and a former pastor I knew here went out there, and he really wanted me as his youth pastor. They flew Mary and I out there. We spent 5 days, and it was great, sunny California. He says, oh, man, you got it. We came home. We had a garage sale. We started selling stuff because we knew we had too much stuff to pack. This is the middle of May. In the middle of my garage sale, the pastor called and said, hey, I'm sorry, we got some bad news. The board decided they didn't think a Midwest guy would fit into California lifestyle. Okay, I'd already turned my resignation to Byron into May, and I'm not going anywhere now. I had my house on the market for almost 2 years. I didn't even get one bid on it. And a guy came in that Friday, or that Monday, and said, I'll pay you cash for the house, but you have to be out by Friday. So Friday came, it was my last weekend at church, had nowhere to live, I had two little kids. I went to stay with some friends in Stillman, and I'm saying, God, what was your will again? Because I'm a little fuzzy on this. I don't have a job, I don't have any money, because we sold the house for just to pay it off. And really questioned, my wife was questioning me too. Now, what did God tell you? As I'm sleeping in somebody else's spare bedroom, with two little kids. That Sunday afternoon, somebody called and said, hey, I know a guy that's hiring a carpenter. I met with him, got the job. He said, you can start Monday. He said, what's your address? I said, I don't have an address because I'm homeless right now. He said, well, I got a duplex open. Why don't you take that? Sunday night, I moved into his duplex. Monday morning, I went to work and never missed a lick. Because God knows what he's doing. But boy, he took me to the wire on that one, and my wife too. And she took me to the wire on that one, let me tell you. The next part of the Lord's Prayer is just simply verse 11. Give us today our daily bread. Two key words there I want you to look at. Today and daily. God will take care of me today, and he'll take care of me daily. Give us today our daily bread. Now, this may not mean much to us, but to the disciples at the time, they knew about the Passover. They knew about the Exodus and how God every day provided Israel food for 40 years. Every morning, they weren't to take any extra. If there was extra, you'd leave it because it'd be bad in the morning. Every day, God provided food for them. And this is where I've failed God sometimes because I've relied on my flesh to provide for me and not for God to provide for me. And even though it was maybe my job and my money and all this stuff, he still provided for me. Until I retired, I realized, wow, I've got to rely on God a little more. I moved into our old house that we've rented out for years, and I wanted a garage attached to the house. I never had a garage attached to the house. I thought, I'm getting old. My wife's getting old. We need to have a house where we can just pull in the garage and walk in the house. Don't have to shovel a pathway, you know, slip on ice, all that stuff. I did this last fall. Remember what lumber prices were last fall? Yeah, it's like, God, how am I going to do this? He said, you're going to build a garage. Don't worry about it. Okay. amazing. I could tell you story after story how he provided for me. I got all my studs for $100. I got those up, ready to build a roof. Okay, God, where are we going to do this next week? But trusses are out of price. Some farmer said, hey, I got a bunch of 2x6s in my barn that have been in there for 20 years. They've never been outside. They've always were stalls. You want them? I got all my roof done for free, you know, studs-wise. Then I was getting ready to do shingles, and, you know, where are you going to get shingles at? And some lady said, you know, we were going to give towards the retirement thing, and we never did, but I want to buy the shingles for your roof. But these all happened the day that I needed them. It was like daily bread over and over again. And that's how cool God is and how faithful he is when we trust him. It's awesome to walk knowing your daily bread. I mean, I love what I'm doing now. I love preaching a lot more. I mean, other than what I'm doing now. But substitute teaching, I know that's where God's got me because I know that I'm able to be a missionary to the schools that would never let pastors in. And, you know, it's awesome. And just walk, I'm in awe with God. But I still walk with his daily bread because I don't make as much money as I used to. I still have to pay my bills. So one last story before I go. I found out that there's money in junk because I had to haul the junk out of my garage. And other people said, hey, we got junk. And so they keep throwing stuff in my way. I guess I became a reputation of a junk man. I don't know. So I throw it in the back of my truck. The other day, it's like, well, it's time for a junk run, and I don't have any money left. And I don't want to dip into my savings, but there wasn't enough in the truck. On a Wednesday morning, there wasn't enough really to make to pay the gas to go to Rockford. By Wednesday night, my truck was overfilled. Somebody called and said, hey, you want to take the, it's just amazing daily bread. And by Thursday morning, I made $100 that day, you know, taking that junk to Rockford. You know, God says, I got you covered. Don't worry about it. You know. You see, fathers, your kids are watching you. And they're going to watch to see if you're trusting in God or if you're just trusting in your flesh and yourself. And they're going to grow up either knowing that you trusted in God or you're trusting in yourself. We got some young people in here. I really preached when I was a youth pastor, and I still did as a pastor, that why should kids go to college? Well, parents tell kids to go to college so you can get a good job, so you can make lots of money, so you can have 2.5 kids and have your white picket fence, right? Why should a kid go to college? There's only one reason you should go to college, because God wants you to. And there's only one reason you shouldn't go to college, because God doesn't want you to. But the reason you go to college is to develop the skills and abilities that God has supernaturally put in you. When I was a youth pastor, I had one of our deacons, elders at the time, kids in my youth group, which is always interesting because they try to tell you how to run a youth group for their kids, you know. But their kids wanted to, were both on fire for the Lord. They were great kids, and they wanted to go into ministry. And they wanted to go to places like Moody and Trinity. And Dad goes, no, you got to go to Northern. You got to get a degree in engineering. There's no money in ministry. You got to get an engineering degree. And he's really pushing them that way, and it was sad, and I was like, kind of a big conflict. What's interesting, they did go get their four-year degree, but both of them, one was a camp director, and the other was involved in youth ministry, even though their dad told them otherwise. And I had a discussion with his dad. I said, you got to do what God wants them to do. But he wanted them to see them prosper, you know? Go to college and get a degree that God wants you to know what God wants you to do. We need to teach kids that. But we teach them by us exampling that as well and showing them who they are. One of the founding fathers that some of you would remember is Chet Bauer. Chet Bauer taught me a lot as a young youth pastor because Chet Bauer had great faith that way. I remember sitting in board meetings. I had to go to the board meetings. You know, he had the pastor's report, the treasurer's report, youth pastor's apologies, and then he went on with the business, you know. Ray was in on some of those meetings, I think, weren't you, Ray? But when they'd come up with an idea, you know, Chet says, hey, we need to put a window in this room. Or somebody said, put a window in this room. And everybody, and Chet goes, yep, let's do it. And the other board members would be like, well, how are we going to pay for it? And Chet says, what do you mean? Why do you ask that question? God wants us to have a window there. We're going to do it. And they're all like, no, we got to find a way to pay for it. He said, no, we don't. We just trust God. And I'd watch this conflict in the board meeting. I'm sitting back, well, at least he's not on me now. But he had such great faith that God would provide. All you need to know is his will. And I learned that from him. That all I need to know is God's will. He'll provide all the rest of the stuff. Are you a father like that? Or are you a mother like that? Are you a believer like that? Knowing his will, God will provide the rest. Some of you may go through some changes in your life. And you don't know what God's will is. And you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And you worry about it. Don't worry about tomorrow. God's will show you, you know, you could lose your job today. You could lose your health today. Any of us could drop over with strokes or all that kind of stuff. Looking at some of your gray hair in here, yeah, you guys better be worried. No, I'm just teasing. At least you got hair. I know some that don't have hair. But God's got you covered. He's a huge God. Created everything. He's got a hollow name. He's got a will for you. He's got a plan for you. He's got your daily bread provided for tomorrow. All you have to do is trust him. And the last part is forgiveness, and we're not going to even touch that one. Because that's a whole other sermon is forgiveness. You need to be a forgiving father. Too many kids are bitter and burnt because their fathers were not forgiving fathers. Our father's forgiving. And I'm so thankful that my God has forgiven me for the times I've failed him. But so hopefully that'll encourage you, Dad. You want to be one that's commended by God. Know your God. Trust him. Show it to your kids, and you'll be blessed. Let's ask the Lord to bless us, our thoughts today. Father, what a privilege it is to call you our Father. And sometimes I say it kind of flippantly because we pray a lot. But I never want to forget who you are. Not only the fierceness of your power, but also the mightiness of your love. Help us to know and realize that and experience it. Help us to humble ourselves, even if it means death on a cross, to do your will. And help us to trust you for our daily bread, not in our own flesh. Because we want to be commended as one that was faithful to you. So bless these fathers today and all those that experience your word. In Jesus' name, amen.